country. Air Force Reserve.
What happens in Las Vegas gets talked about on Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Now, weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
And this hour of Live and Local brought to you in part by New Hope Tax Defense. If you've gotten a dreaded targeted letter from the IRS stating that you owe the government tens of thousands of dollars in back taxes, call my friends at New Hope Tax Defense, 702-483-0220. That number again, 702-483-0220. Make that call right now. I think I figured it out, and it's taken me a while to come to this. But there are people in our society who crave power. They crave control over all of us. And that what we are seeing now is yet another emergency. This one dealing not with COVID, but with monkeypox. Dr. Mark Siegel from Fox News Channel, their medical expert, their Dr. Sanjay Gupta, if you will. This was his reaction to monkeypox from Fox News yesterday.
Well, the first thing we should know is that there's a lot of hysteria attached to it, as usual, and that we need to track these cases. But 21 cases in the United States, there's probably several more that haven't been diagnosed. They don't have exactly the testing in place yet. But even then, it's very hard to catch. It requires very close contact or sexual transmission. In the UK and probably in all around the world, over 50% of cases are in gay or bisexual men. It's spreading that way sexually. There's about 200 cases in the UK and several hundred cases in Europe. But I think, Will, that this has been around a while. The structure of this virus looks like it's something that's been around a while, which means if it tracks back a couple of years to Nigeria, it's not going to suddenly take off. And that's what people really need to know. It's also something we can easily isolate you if you have it. You know, it's probably been missed for a couple of years because you have flu-like symptoms or you have lymph node swelling or headaches. But the rash is very characteristic. It's very easy to find and to separate people out. We have an antiviral drug and a vaccine if we need it. But I don't anticipate this spreading widely at all.
Dr. Siegel, you brought this up. I think it's important, and you and I have talked about this once before. This in Europe has largely been spreading among the gay population, tied to a couple raves in Europe. I don't know, what do we know about this in Philadelphia or the spread of it in the United States? It's important to highlight, I think, as we enter Pride Month, where we're going to have a ton of parades and, you know, large gatherings. You know, not that this disease is particular to the gay population, but it is right now largely affecting the gay population.
And that's true also is suspected in Philadelphia and in cases in New York as well. I know that by checking with our epidemiologists here in New York, it appears to be male-to-male sex for the most part. It may spread because of the actual rash itself. It is something that you need to be more on the lookout if you're in that population and if you've traveled recently. Traveling and people in the gay population have been much more likely to spread this. That's what we need to do from a public health point of view, is to target that. We missed that with HIV, didn't we? And we don't want to make that mistake again.
That's Dr. Mark Siegel on Fox yesterday talking about monkeypox. But the one thing that I've taken away from all of this, and again, I am hard-headed to a fault, and sometimes it takes me a while to digest food and free thought. But the fact is that I'm not going to get fooled again. I absolutely refuse to be fooled again. This is not going to happen. And we're going to talk about it on this show. We're going to talk a lot about it. Stay where you are. Coming up, very excited. Scott Hammond's going to join us, state senator from Nevada District 18. We're just weeks away. God, I looked at the calendar and it would like hit me between the eyes that the red letter date that everybody's circling on their calendar is August 8th. Yeah, because that's when schools reopen. That's when the kids go back and the buses are out in your neighborhood. That's what's going to be happening from now on until the 8th. And I'm going to tell you something. I have some questions as to whether this Clark County School District is ready. They have like 1,500 job openings for teachers that they can't fill. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ.
KMZQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
And we're seeing some bunching on Interstate 15 southbound right around Spring Mountain, and there is a crash ahead of that. It's there at the exit ramp, Interstate 15 south at Flamingo. Yeah, you're pretty heavy through there. Remember, the HOV lanes on Interstate 15 are going to be closed 24/7 beginning tomorrow. That's through August 25th, and that's going to be between Warm Springs and Tropicana. The Interstate 15 Tropicana interchange is being rebuilt. It's part of over a $300 million project for that reconstruction through there. So, you know the old saying, no pain, no gain. That begins tomorrow.
Famous Las Vegas Strip, I'm Chuck Sanders with this KMZQ Sports Flash powered by Pro Insurance Solutions.
The Royals beat the Angels 7-0. Zach Greinke combined with four Kansas City relievers to hold LA to five hits. The A's beat the Astros 7-5. Tony Kemp homered and hit a two-run double. Sky Bolt added a two-run shot. The A's handing the Astros their first loss following a 5-0 start after the All-Star break. The Nationals beat the Dodgers 4-1. Juan Soto's RBI triple capped a four-run fifth. The Nats able to snap the Dodgers 11-game home winning streak. The Giants were shut out 7-0 at Arizona. Merrill Kelly tossed 8 innings of 3-hit ball. The Dodgers lead the NL West by 11.5 games over San Diego. The Padres were idle Monday. The Giants are 16.5 games out. In the AL West, 4th place LA, 23.5 games out of first. The A's are 29 games out. I'm Chuck Sanders with the Sports Flash powered by Pro Insurance Solutions on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Most of summer without breaking the bank. So I shop Kohl's Friends and Family Sale. With my 25% off coupon, I headed to the store and got shorts for $14.99, plus an extra 50% off a swimsuit, 40% off patio furniture, and $20 off as a Kohl's Rewards member. More style and more savings for the win. Flex styles, $20 off of $100 valid in store only. 25% offer ends July 31st in store only. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
This is a Reese's Peanut Butter Cups sound experiment. We're looking to find the perfect way to hear Reese's so you'll buy more of them. Here we go. Reese's. Reese's.
Reese's.
Reese's.
Reese's. Hey, get out of here, you little stinker.
Reese's.
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 Peanut Butter Cups.
That breathy one sounded very creepy, am I right?
NFL training camps are opening around the country. That means sports bars will be filling up, and they are a passionate crowd. That's just one reason why I asked Steve Romeo at Quality Hearing Aids to test my hearing. He confirmed what I had suspected. Not only did I have hearing loss, but there were words I could hear but not understand. The folks at Quality Hearing Aids fitted me with new state-of-the-art hearing aids, and the difference has been incredible. I can't believe what I've been missing out on. And the hearing aids themselves are so small. Close friends and family, they don't even know I'm wearing them. If hearing loss is causing you to miss out on all this world has to offer, call my friends Steve Romeo and Matt Lingman at Quality Hearing Aids. Even if you were tested 3 or 4 years ago, you won't believe the advancement in the technology. Call 702-369-1321. That's 702-369-1321. Or check them out at QHALV.com. That's QHALV.com. And tell them Kevin Wall sent you.
The same great show with the same great host.
Just at a new time.
Live and local with Kevin Wall. Now, weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
And this hour of Live and Local brought to you by Nevada Trucking Association, the men and women who get stuff from point A to point B. I love them. Paul Enos and his entire crew, thank you so much for what you do for our state. Nevada Trucking Association. Joining us now, always good to have him on, Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18, and he joins us. Are you traveling today, or are you in town?
Oh, I'm in town, Kevin. Just got to, you know, those meetings that we have once in a while, Interim Finance Committee.
And any news to break on that front?
Nope, nothing really to break on that front. I mean, we're going to be looking at a couple of more programs that, you know, we're going to be funded by money coming in from the federal government, but no.
And by the way, when you get these Biden bucks, I know there have been public hearings and all kinds of other stuff as to how we should spend the money and all of that. Who ultimately makes the decision? Is that the Interim Finance Committee?
Yeah, that's exactly. So the a lot of the decision making goes to the governor, and then the governor comes to us for oversight to make sure that he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, which is my biggest complaint with some of the money that came in from the CARES Act. That did not have the same sort of oversight that we have with the money that's coming in now. I mean, there was no oversight. It was going to the governor, and the governor is making choices. And, you know, that's why I'm asking for them to do an audit of every money, of all the money that was given to him. And then during that time that he called for an emergency. So that definitely it should be a concern of everybody.
Again, Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, Nevada District 18. I looked at the calendar today, and it just hit me between the eyes, and that is August 8th, because that is what parents all across the Southern Nevada area are circling on their calendar. It's the first day of school. Is CCSD going to be ready for it?
Oh, they're going to be ready for it. I don't know how well it's going to be. I think this is the best year for people and parents. When I say people, I'm talking about parents, really evaluate what they're getting from CCSD. And it certainly is going to be helpful to us going into the next session where parents are going to say, hey, we'd like to make different choices. Can you please allow us to find different avenues? So, yeah, they'll be ready. They still won't have the teachers that they need. They're going to be short. They have been the last, 10, 15 years. They've been short every year. But they'll open up their doors, and they'll be ready to educate. And the professionals that the teachers are, they'll be ready to educate your children. They'll walk in the door, and they'll do everything possible to make sure your kids are getting the best education they can. The teachers aren't always responsible for some of the policies that come out.
What is the district doing to attract more and better teachers? I mean, is there a program in place for at least the number I saw originally was 1,500 vacancies.
Yeah.
First of all, is that the number you're seeing? And are there programs to attract more and better teachers?
Yeah, that's the number I'm seeing. They go around recruiting just like a lot of other school districts do. I couldn't tell you with any specificity exactly what they're doing a little bit different from other school districts. I mean, it's got to be harder, I think, given the situation that we're in, given the rankings that we have. I mean, it's got to be a little bit more difficult to go out there and convince somebody from another state to come in and teach here in our state, at least in our community, given the difficulties that are associated with our particular school district. So kudos to them, those folks who go out there and try to recruit, because it can't be easy.
Is it just a matter of money? I mean, is that what we're talking about? We need to pay our teachers more?
I think we do need to pay our teachers more, but it's not just about money. It really, I think it's about a lot of other things. The climate that exists in CCSD and the climate that exists down here in Southern Nevada, I think in Nevada in general, I think that that's got to change. As a teacher, I still find it interesting. When I left teaching in 2015, I left the school district, and not a single person from the school district asked me why I was leaving. But there was a combination of a lot of things that I hear from a lot of teachers, working conditions, the fact that they keep piling on and asking us to do more and more. You know, one of my biggest missions in the legislature while I've been there is, as a teacher, making sure that they weren't being piled on even more. It's just like every legislator comes in and says, hey, I've got a new program. All you have to do is ask the teachers to do this. You know, we can just get them to fill out this. We can get data from this. And it just seemed like every legislative session there was something more that teachers were being asked to do aside from just teaching students. And so I kind of felt like that was my mission, was to push back on that and say, look, that's nice. It's a good thought. But if you do that, then, you know, how are we going to get this accomplished? So that became one of my big missions in life, really, was to push back on the unnecessary requirements that were being placed on teachers. So it's not just about money, Kevin. It really is. It's about money and time and what they're asking, you know, that the extra stuff that they're asking. Teachers don't just go home anymore and that's it. I mean, they do a lot of stuff at home, and they don't even get home until after many hours after school gets out.
Again, Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, Nevada District 18. Your reaction to CCSD, which made the news last week relative to backing away from the mask mandate in schools and on school property. Can you talk a little bit about your thoughts there?
Yeah, I can. And I think that I know you and I've talked about this before. I've talked with lots of people, and you have too. I'm glad they've moved away from that. The idea of opening up with a mask mandate. I know that COVID is on the rise in some areas. I get that. I mean, it's going to be around for a long time, for the foreseeable future. We've got a lot of people who have been vaccinated, boosted, and all that kind of stuff, wearing masks, and they're still getting it. I don't think that wearing a mask every day is going to decrease the problem we're going to have with COVID. I think it's going to be around for a while. So I'm so glad that they're not going to do that. It's so much harder for a teacher to get in front of a student now and teach them, you know, in front of a classroom and teach. Now, if a student or a teacher prefers to wear a mask, I would not say no to it. I'm just glad that they're not going to mandate it. Let the kids breathe. Let the students see each other. Let them talk to each other. Let them get back to life as normal as much as possible. So I'm kind of happy they backed away from that.
I'm just curious now that a president who has been fully vaccinated, fully boosted, right, he's getting COVID. Does that say to the rest of us? I mean, is there a life lesson here that we're missing?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest life lesson is, you're going to have these things out there for a long time. Make sure you stay healthy as possible, right? Good eating habits, good exercise, that kind of stuff, because you can survive this. I'm not a doctor or a physician, but I know that you can do as much as you can to mitigate this. The mitigation happens when you are as healthy as possible. I know that some people can't. I mean, you're going to get diabetes or you're going to have something else. But there's a lot of things you can do to try to mitigate this. And that's what we've learned over the last few years. And so do that. I mean, it's going to be around. So that I know when I heard that President Biden got it, and I know I think they have touted the fact that he's been boosted, he's been inoculated, he's been boosted. He does all the preventative stuff, which is great, but you're still going to, the chances are you're going to get it. It's highly contagious.
And by the way, the symptoms were minimal, and we have been told that he is virtually done with symptoms, and that's good. I mean, we all wish him well. We wish him good health.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and I think that that's going to happen more and more. This is, again, I'm not a physician. I can't speak to this. I just know that anecdotally, I keep hearing that more and more people who get it, the symptoms are less likely, or they're just not as dramatic as they were, 2 years ago when it first came out and people were getting it. So, we're going to live with it, right? We're all going to have to live with this for the foreseeable future.
Normally, a governor gives a state of the state address along with a report on the condition of the state, and it usually comes in January or February. But now we have Steve Sisolak giving a kind of a half year's version of the state. What did you make of it, and your reaction to a sitting governor having two state of the states?
Well, first of all, traditionally, the state of the state comes the year of the legislature convening. So that would be the odd number of years in January, right before the session begins, as a way for the governor to communicate what he or she believes that their priorities should be, that we should be going in this direction. And they usually give 3 to 5 different priorities. That's the tradition. So the fact that the governor gave one this year and not in the normal circumstances. Under normal circumstances, you're going to give that up in Carson City in front of the legislature, because that's the governor's way of telling the legislature, hey, take notice. This is what I think our key issues that I'm going to work with you legislators on. This year, he decided to call it a state of the state, and he gave it down here in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. So that's one. Yeah, I think people ought to take some, you know, read something into that. And then two, the second one coming right now, folks, this is all political. This is a, hey, I know that I have been messing up for the last 2.5 years, you know, but don't look into that. Look into the fact that, you know, this is what's going on now. And he's trying to let everybody know that, you know, that the state of the state is better than you have been hearing about. I think it's all political myself. There's no reason for him to give another state of the state address, especially one this far. I mean, we're a couple months away from a few months away from an election. So for me, it's all political theater. That's what I think. I don't know about you, Kevin. I think it's all political theater.
I totally agree with you. I got to ask you, though, before I let you go, the report that we have replaced 100% of the jobs lost during the pandemic. The governor has found a way to replace those jobs, and we're back at even. What do you think?
Yeah.
Why don't I feel good about that?
So, yeah, we should all be sleeping really tight tonight. But, you know, the reality is you go out to a business, you go out to a restaurant, you go out there and you talk to folks, and folks are still not being able to hire anybody. You know, we still don't have – I mean, that's what you hear on a daily basis. I wish we had better service, but right now we're understaffed by I don't know how many. I really – you know, businesses are telling me they can't find qualified workers. We've had a hard time filling positions at my work for many – you know, months and months and months before you get somebody filled. So I keep hearing the data. But I'm telling you, the data doesn't seem to be, you know, matching the stories that I'm hearing out there. So I'm having a hard time believing it. I'd have to find out what jobs are being filled. I really have to go try and find a deeper dive into that, because I'm not sure that the jobs that we lost are the ones for sure. That they're not the ones being filled again. The economy has changed. What kind of jobs are we talking about?
Yep.
Are people making money? Because I'm still getting emails all the time with problems with Dieter. And if people are having problems with Dieter, that means they're still asking for unemployment, which means our unemployment is still pretty high. So I don't quite believe everything that's coming out of that particular statement. I'm having a hard time with that.
Yep.
And you know what? In some of the polling that we're seeing, when we're looking at polling for our state Senate, for example, we have three really important races down here in the South. And those three races, for the most part, most of our races we should be under. So we have a disadvantage. They have more Democrats in those districts. And yet when we do the polling, almost all three of our Republican candidates are doing better than Democratic colleagues. Why? Why? It's because everybody's looking at the economy. They're looking at the economy. They're looking at how much money it costs them to get to work. You know, how many hours do they have to work a day in order to afford to go to work, in order to afford food for their family, in order to, you know, to meet the cost of the increase in cost of living? I mean, these are all things that are worrying people's minds. So CISLAC can tell us about how great things are, about how it took him 2.5 years to get back to where we were before he decided to shut down the state. By the way, a lot of other states didn't even shut down, and they did not have the economic impact or the health impact that we had. And they're doing quite well. So you tell me, I mean, 2.5 years later, he's out there telling everybody, I'm doing great. You know, I finally got back to where we were 2.5 years ago.
You know what that is? You know what that is, Scott? That is a desperate candidate who realizes he's got a tough race. I got to run because we're running way behind on time. It is always good to visit with you. We'll talk again next week, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot for the time. We'll talk to you later.
There you go. Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18. Stay with us. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Spend a special evening at the Sherwood South Point with the Folk Legacy Trio, a special two-day engagement. All that wonderful folk music from the past brought forward to the present. July 29th and 30th. Tickets at the showroom, online at southpointcasino.com or charged by phone, 702-797-8055. The Folk Legacy Trio at the South Point.
Over 50,000 police officers are assaulted on the job each year, leading to injuries and death. This is the reality they deal with when making contact with the public. Another reality is that if someone doesn't comply with a lawful order or uses force against them, police may have to use sufficient force in response to obtain compliance. Use of force is always ugly. Nobody likes it, especially police, and nobody knows how it will turn out. Spread the word. For de-escalation to work, both parties must de-escalate. And de-escalation isn't necessary if there is no escalation. Help police by not escalating. Don't attack or try to disarm an officer. Whether it's getting asked a question, getting a citation, or getting arrested, don't argue, don't resist, don't flee. After the encounter has been resolved is the time to address any complaints. Comply now, complain later. Keep everybody safe. This message brought to you by the National Police Association. To learn more about how to help law enforcement accomplish its goals, visit nationalpolice.org.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So why do we continue to put our faith in elected officials in Carson City who are more interested in playing politics than getting our state on track? I'm John Sarpolis, president of the Nevada Policy Research Institute. And we want to stop the cycle of insanity that's holding Nevada and Nevadans back. Go to NevadaPolicy.org to learn how our nonpartisan, nonprofit organization is leading the charge, protecting the freedoms and liberties Nevadans prize so highly. Nevada Policy has put principles over politics for more than 30 years, and we need your help to continue building a movement focused on ideas that will move us forward. Learn more at NevadaPolicy.org. This Nevada Policy Update has been brought to you in partnership with the Nevada Trucking Association. I'm John Sarpolis, president of the Nevada Policy Research Institute, and we want to stop the cycle of insanity that's holding Nevada and Nevadans back.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/trial. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/trial. ZipRecruiter.com/trial.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few years ago, a friend invited me for an evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Now, Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. Boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's had been there for over 3 decades and family-owned for over 20 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. And I love their food. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including seafood, steaks, burgers, pastas, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen is open 24 hours a day for you late-night foodies. What do I like best about Ichabod's? Their old-school Vegas atmosphere. Their bartenders and servers are super friendly. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. And you'll love their nightly entertainment at the piano bar. You want to win? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
This is a St. Jude moment.
Ashton was a high-level athlete, and in an instant, your world flips, and your healthy 5-year-old competitive cheerleader has a brain tumor. And the physician was like, your best option is St. Jude. Receiving treatment that was life-saving for our child and knowing that that treatment would be of no cost to us was a huge weight lifted.
Learn more at stjude.org.
Talking about the news of the day need not be toxic or boring. Hey, it's Rob Carson. Join me weeknights from 6 to 8 for a unique and fun look at politics and pop culture. It's the Rob Carson Show on AM 670 KMZQ, talk radio done right.
If you owe back taxes to the IRS, you haven't filed your taxes in a while, or you have a lien against you or your business, there is hope. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Whether you've been audited or face any number of